Welcome to the Real P3 Podcast, your ultimate resource for swine professionals worldwide. Join your host, Casey Bradley, dedicated industry advocate, as we delve deep into the world of swine production. Tune in for expert insights, cutting-edge strategies, and meaningful discussions tailored specifically to empower and elevate swine professionals. From optimizing nutrition plans to exploring innovative techniques and connecting with industry pioneers, the Real P3 Podcast is your go-to platform to stay ahead in the dynamic realm of swine production. So hopefully you listened to the last two episodes in our series on anemia in swine. To round out the series, we're going to interview Caitlin herself, since she's been spending so much time in her master's degree on this project. So stay tuned. Well, welcome, Caitlin, to the final episode featuring sow anemia or anemia in pigs. Can you reintroduce yourself to the audience and give them a background why you're so passionate about this research topic?
Hi, Dr. Bradley. Sure. So my name is Caitlin McClellan, and again, I'm a master's student at South Dakota State University working with Dr. Crystal Levesque. And I have a genuine passion for sow anemia research, which is kind of rooted in a diverse range of motivations stemming from my compassion for animals to my overall scientific curiosity. And I think my desire to contribute positively to the field of sow research drives my enthusiasm in this specific research area. And I think this research area has really played a huge role in helping me identify and nurture my passion for both research and sows. And I think observing the potential negative effects that we kind of discussed in the earlier episodes of sow anemia and anemia in pigs in our farm, the negative effects I've observed has kind of instilled a profound sense of care and responsibility that I feel like I kind of have now towards this research topic. And on top of that, I think my fascination with sow anemia research kind of extends beyond the farm. I've become really interested in the potential of collaborating with the human research field, because I think sow anemia research kind of offers a unique opportunity for collaboration, which I think really can yield some novel solutions for, both human and animal medicine. So overall, I think I just really have a field commitment towards the issue.
Yeah, can you go over the design of your thesis and what all types of trials that you've put into this research project thus far?
Yeah, so I actually have a longitudinal sow study where I started with a group of sows on our farm. Actually, they were gilts when we started. So I started with them at breeding, and I've tracked these gilts all the way up until now. They're actually in parity 3, about to farrow their third litter. And the design of the study is basically to track and assess hemoglobin concentration, which is a really good indicator for anemia in the sow. And so basically, I have tracked her, all the way till now to kind of find changes in how she may be changing in her status and when we see that development or that onset of anemia during her reproductive life, which kind of has yielded some interesting data, which has kind of created some further questions for me. And so besides that, assessment of hemoglobin concentration in the sows, I've also started a trial where I'm looking at hemoglobin concentration in the sow as well, but also kind of taking her status and looking at potential effects on, health and certain consequences like, farrowing duration and piglet outcome and maybe some kind of negative effects on post-farrowing and maybe even cull rates. So that's something I'm working on right now.
Well, that is really incredible. Have you been able to pinpoint anything that stuck out to you on the research thus far, or are you waiting until you have your third parity data done to finalize your assumptions or hypothesis?
So with the longitudinal study where we've assessed them across time, I think it's okay to say now that they obviously decline in hemoglobin status across time, and as they increase in parity, they kind of have a common trend that we've seen in each of the parities. You know, granted, we've only now looked at them up until parity 3, but it's a pretty similar trend across each parity, how they kind of go, you know, from breeding all the way till weaning, and how they make that change across their reproductive cycle. But one interesting thing is that they are declining overall in hemoglobin status.
Well, very interesting. Can you kind of walk us through how you connect it with Dr. Lyons and that relationship?
Yeah, so they actually supply the supplies that I use to measure the hemoglobin concentration. They work with the company called HemoQ, and they actually supplied the machine that I use all the time in the barn to assess hemoglobin concentration. And they've also supplied the microcuvettes, which is the device that, you know, is used to capture the blood and put into the machine to give you the results. So they've been very generous in supplying that to make the projects possible.
Definitely awesome. Kind of with their sponsorship and support, they're not just supporting your research trial with the supplies, but Dr. Levesque's been doing a lot of work with iron, and kind of walk us through some of the different trials that's coming out of your lab with the help of Pharmacosmo, if I said that right?
Yeah, Pharmacosmos. Their iron company is actually called Infron. And so, but Pharmacosmos, they've also helped supply the supplies for another big project that was done on a commercial farm in Michigan at Rolling Meadows, where we had a student looking at different iron supplement protocols in the piglets, and she also assessed, you know, the sow's hemoglobin concentration. And so I'm not sure what data she yielded from that study, but it was interesting. I got to be a part of that for a few weeks, and so she had a few different iron protocol methods in the piglets. And I think the goal of that study was to really determine what, you know, the best protocol might be in piglets. Her focus seemed to be primarily on the iron supplement in the piglets, and looking at the different protocols to see which one was going to have the best, effectiveness on the piglet from birth to weaning. So just an example of that, she had a treatment where she was giving two, you know, iron injections, and then a treatment where she was giving a oral kind of creep feed iron, and then one treatment where she was just giving, you know, the one single iron dose. So
that is where our paths have crossed. But we got to work together on 4th of July of all days, taking blood samples at Rolling Meadows. And I was really impressed with the speed and ability to measure a lot of different samples at once with the HemoCube. And then also, background, Rolling Meadows is the partner of the Sunswine Group on sow research. We have top pigs, Norvizins, female there. We can do a multitude of different trials. And the student that Caitlin was referring to is our Jerry Bardells. You'll hear from her hopefully here in the future on the Real P3. But she is our pork scholar grant. So not only Pharmacosmos sponsoring that trial, but with the help of the National Pork Board and the Pork Scholar Grant, we really can continue some of this work. So there's a lot of other pieces going into that. Let's take a quick break and hear from our founding partners, Swine Nutrition Management. Swine Nutrition Management is a consultancy service in South Africa, whereas pig nutritionists have a vision to provide customers with practical, up-to-date, and accurate nutritional information, which will add value to their farming enterprises by moving closer to unlocking the genetic potential of their animals. They develop tailored, cost-effective feeding programs for customers. Their approach is not to develop least cost, but rather best cost feed programs. By reviewing the entire cost structure of the farm, this includes a deep understanding of the production equation, which is driven by throughput, productivity, and feed efficiency. Now back to our episode. But Caitlin, let's kind of go back to Dr. Lyons' conversation and what really stood out from you with getting to formally interview Dr. Lyons on anemia.
I think that what kind of stood out to me, well, we didn't really talk much about sow research, but he kind of implicated that he's got a lot of sow research in the works. And I think it's good to know that I'm not the only one who probably thinks that anemia is an issue in sows. Obviously, he's you know, involved in a lot bigger research and probably has a lot more, you know, going on in that field. But I think kind of understanding that he's got plans to work towards this issue kind of just made me happy to hear. I had kind of thought going into that he was really just working with the piglet side of things. So I'm excited to see some future research and findings from things that he's going to do in the sow side of things.
Well, we'll catch back up with that here in a bit. But what were your key takeaways from Dr. Tyler Chevalier from now Comeback Feeds, but obviously was Dr. Merlin Lindemann's last PhD student that graduated this spring summer. So kind of what was your thoughts and on their research and the interview you had with Tyler?
So I think he kind of validated my passion for this research area. It's interesting to know that he kind of had this, he's had the same passion throughout his, you know, graduate program. He's very passionate about iron work. He's very passionate about pig anemia. And although he didn't do, you know, a lot in the sow side of things like I'm doing, he did a lot in nursery pig. And so I think it's interesting that, you know, there's other students that are also passionate about this area. It's not a very common research area, it seems like, right now, but it was good to talk to him about why he's passionate about it and what, you know, what his thoughts are and things that haven't been done that maybe should be done. And so it's good to touch base on another individual that's kind of more near my timeline of things. Now he's done with grad school, but it was good to touch base on something that we're both really passionate about.
And I was going to say, you probably didn't realize this, but Tyler has kind of also been one of my mentees that I've stayed connected with through his graduate program. And he does have a passion about sow research. And you can't not have a passion coming out of the University of Kentucky, in my mind, about minerals. So Dr. Lindemann was a graduate school that I considered at the time, but wanted to work in the industry and decided to go that path. But with my connections with Dr. Gretchen Hill and Dr. Lindemann, and I have served on a lot of different committees together and run some of these multi-state research trials and looking at minerals. So it's kind of unique to start seeing some of that rejuvenation, as I'm going to call it, of the mineral work in the U.S., not just kind of confined to one or two professors, but unique to see it also coming to South Dakota State. But you've obviously spent a lot of time in on the barn understanding this research problem or problem we have in the industry. Where do you think we're lacking to really understand the complexity of anemia, either in the sow or the piglet, to take steps further?
I think my focus, just being that it's on the sow, I think the piglet research in this area is much more advanced and we know a lot more about it than we do the sow. I think the sow is just so different. And we can't really take research that's been done in the piglet and translate it to the sow because she's just different. And so I think, you know, with the area of anemia, a big assumption is that maybe she's dealing with iron deficiency. And I think something that's really lacking is kind of validating or disproving that kind of concept that she might be dealing with a mineral deficiency. And so I think going back to, you know, her nutrition and her, the mineral content of her diet would be, you know, probably something we're really lacking. We really don't know if she's getting enough iron, and if she is, we don't know what her, you know, liver stores look like. We don't know the ins and outs of her like we do the, you know, maybe the piglet, who we've studied extensively to try and get, you know, the most growth out of. We've really focused on the piglet, and we've kind of lacked some research areas and investigation in the sow, which could really kind of easily improve something like anemia, which I think, you know, this condition can really have some negative effects on her. And if we can fix it, like we, you know, have found in the piglet, maybe some ways that we can improve piglet anemia, we could, you know, make a lot of difference in sow, you know, health and maybe even longevity.
Well, I think it's really interesting, and I think it's really important to note that we talk about anemia and iron, but I always go up to the slide I always show everybody when I teach about minerals, and it's the interrelationships between all the elements. So it's not just we can push iron and we're going to impact zinc, we're going to impact copper, we're going to impact manganese, magnesium. It's all interrelated. And when we kind of look at that, and Dr. Lyons went into that a little bit, and Tyler, you know, these relationships between minerals, how in your work, you're obviously just looking at hemoglobin, but besides going in the liver and doing some other tests, where do you think from an analytical perspective on the sow do we need to go to really understand these interrelationships between other minerals that may be causing anemia in the sow?
I think we don't know enough about mineral metabolism. And I think, you know, doing research where we can more understand how these minerals actually interact, because we know they interact. We know that they can inhibit each other, that we know, you know, there's certain things that can improve the absorption or utilization of, you know, a mineral such as, you know, iron. So I think, you know, that's another research area that we can kind of look at in advance on is, I guess, just understanding mineral metabolism. And maybe, you know, specific to the sow, I think it's going to be different in, you know, a grow finished pig than a sow. And so maybe doing studies where we can learn that information. And, you know, if we give this amount of iron and this amount of zinc, you know, what's going to happen and how is that going to work in metabolism of those different minerals. And so, for example, you know, there's studies where they're increasing the levels of zinc in the diet. And so that's kind of concerning to me from a, you know, standpoint of being worried about a condition like anemia, because if we're increasing, you know, another mineral and not being worried about it inhibiting, you know, iron, you know, that could cause, you know, some concern about it potentially causing anemia or at least increasing the chances of it.
Now a word from the Sunswine Group. The Sunswine Group was founded in 2020 by Dr. Casey Bradley and developed a service-based company to fill in the gaps for agribusinesses, swine and poultry producers, and individuals alike. Our core business focuses on research and development, technical writing, and data analytics. However, this is all a catalyst for Dr. Bradley's passion to faithfully serve through Science Plus Heart. This includes her mentoring programs such as Coffee and Careers in Animal Science and this podcast, The Real P3, and also her training and professional development programs that are now coming under the SunGrow brand. We hope to continue to grow through you, so contact us today at thesunswinegroup.com or on our social media channels, and let's sow the seeds of prosperity together. And now back to our episode.
Well, one of the things that came up in the two episodes, and I think it was from Dr. Lyons, was the amount of blood needed and to create it. Do you think genetically selecting some of these animals to be very fertile, have lots of born alive, has also, we haven't looked into the genetic selection of the capability of producing red blood cells and impacting anemia in your mind, as kind of we alluded to in previous interviews?
Yeah, so I think obviously our sows, being that they're super hyper prolific, they're having all these babies. Their total born is increased. The total weight of each litter is increased. I think that has definitely something to do with it, possibly, because if you understand red blood cells, that they do die off, and they have a lifespan, and then they get regenerated. We have new red blood cells come in, and it's kind of just an ongoing cycle of red blood cells dying and then being created. And so I think even that's another thing, is understanding how is this, what's the lifespan of, I don't even know how you would investigate something like that, but kind of understanding the red blood cell patterns of the sow, and understanding that every time she farrows, she's losing blood. Maybe she's not able to regenerate enough red blood cells to recoup her levels in her next pregnancy. And so it could be aiding in that anemia, just because of the fact she might not have enough red blood cells, being regenerated after each, farrowing.
Well, some wonderful thoughts and comments, Caitlin. I can't wait to see what you do in your career. Can you, before we go, and I'm going to turn the table and let you ask me a question, but can you give me your, I guess not me, the, can you give the listeners kind of your take on participating in the Real P3 and what you've learned from the experience of planning and hosting a podcast?
Sure. So I think being on the podcast has been a very valuable experience for, my personal growth. I think my journey through grad school so far has really involved overcoming a lot of initial doubts and fears. And so, I've also learned that facing a lot of uncomfortable experiences is quite valuable, and this could, count as one of those. I come from the city, essentially. I'm from San Diego, California, and wasn't raised on a farm or anything. And so I've really had to figure out ways in grad school to build my confidence and understand that my limited ag background has no implication at this point on my ability to be, a part of the industry and have confidence in what I'm capable of. And I think being part of the podcast is a great way to continue to build that confidence, and realizing, I can come in and have a discussion on pigs and give my input and contribution on things. And so, I just want to add that grad school kind of offers a really unique opportunity for personal and professional growth. And I've found that there are so many ways to maximize this experience beyond what might be outlined in my expectations here. And so being on the podcast is a really good example of making the most out of experiences in grad school to kind of aid in, personal growth and professional development.
Well, and I can brag on you a little bit, Caitlin. Really watching this opportunity for you, I didn't realize on how much you could grow in this little segment, but you're changing in planning, you're changing in how you worded your questions and who you wanted to be on the episode, and watching your growth in that and managing a project was really a good opportunity, I think, for you, and then really seeing the opportunity of how we take this to the next step and offer this platform to other graduate students like yourself. So I really wanted to thank you for being my first guinea pig. And before we leave the audience, I'm going to turn the table officially now and let you ask me a question.
Sure. So, I guess my question for you would be, what was the most challenging experience you encountered during your time in grad school, and what lessons did you learn from that experience?
Oh, there are so many, Caitlin. I guess the most challenging thing was when plans didn't go the way I wanted to, and I can use that example of my master's into my PhD. So I really came to the University of Arkansas because A, it was a job, but B, he wanted to do sow research, and there wasn't a lot of sow research out there. And it was a Zinpro project, and this was before their feet first. So it was kind of their guinea pig of how to do some of these different techniques as well. But with planning and budgets, it didn't go off as planned or as soon as we thought it would for the research trial. So I had to kind of pivot, and I didn't get disappointed or frustrated that it didn't happen because I knew it was just delayed. But, you know, that was my whole goal, was to do sow lameness and longevity, because that's, I mean, my passion of what I found in the industry, and not having solutions as a barn manager with these problems I had in my sows. But it was probably the best thing I did for my career and for sow longevity. And it's really, you know, I pivoted and did an immune study looking at passive immunity for the sow into the piglet. And it opened my eyes. I took immunology. I had to read tons of papers on immunology and really opened that portal for me to understand not only how can we improve the longevity of these females, but the opportunity of how they also help the longevity or survivability of their offspring and the continuous flow. Because, I mean, I also had a component of guilt development in with the sow research for my PhD. So really understanding that there's no phase that's separated, that it all starts from the beginning. And that was really the most exciting part for me is, yeah, I could have been deterred and upset that my sow research trial wasn't going as planned. And if I would have kept it waiting for it, it may have taken me, you know, 6 to 8 years to just finish a thesis. But that pivot really revolutionized the way I thought. It's really set me up for success in my career. And I guess that's probably one of the biggest lessons I learned in the same type of degree as you, is learning to pivot was probably the best thing, and the opportunity to learn something different, even though it wasn't planned, was very important and pivotal in my career for the long term.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of if one door closes, another opens, and everything happens for a good reason.
Well, thank you, Caitlin, for being on the Real P3 podcast. And if the audience would like to reach out to you and learn more about your research, how do they do that?
Well, I'm on the South Dakota State University directory, so I guess they could just look up my name on South Dakota State and find me as a graduate student listed there.
And just to point out, her name is Caitlin with a K-A-T-L-Y-N, and her last name is McLean, so M-C-C-L-E-L-L-A-N. And her major professor is Dr. Crystal Levesque. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Real P3 podcast. Wait, don't log off yet. Keep listening, because I want to know what you thought about this. I really was trying to search of how I can combine my passion for mentoring students in the animal sciences and the podcast. Well, this was my first attempt at that, and I appreciate Caitlin for being my guinea pig and the relationship I have with South Dakota State University. So if you like this, please let us know by giving us a review, a thumbs up, a 5 stars, whatever device you're listening on, or send me a message, because we really need to help our young professionals succeed, because our industry's sustainability and future lies within their hands. And as always, if you get a chance today, hug a pig for me.